Hi, hi, this is Jennifer Heron of Cadence Coaching. Welcome to our performance project session about the three musketeers: procrastination, people-pleasing, and perfectionism. These guys are all forms of fear. And fear is simply the avoidance of an uncomfortable emotion. So really, the three musketeers stand in your way of experiencing discomfort. So why is this a bad thing? Why not let them stand guard and protect your status quo? You would be safe. You would change as little as possible in an evolving world. And you would be, oh, so comfy. Except that it is the nature of things that if you don't feel pain, you also don't get to feel pleasure. If there's no sadness, there's no joy. And if there's no battle, there's no peace. So the thing is that procrastination, people-pleasing, and perfectionism might keep you comfortable and safe, but they also keep you from experiencing joy and achieving things that are meaningful to you. They keep you from leading in your own life because they convince you to be led around by your emotions instead of by your dreams. Procrastination loves to postpone pain and stand in the way of success. He convinces us that we work better under pressure, that what we don't do today, we can always put off until tomorrow, and that the big important thing that we want is really not all that. He pretty much stands in the way of big projects and important goals. He makes us think that we're lazy and that we don't have any self-discipline. He's all about finding the easy way out. Procrastination feeds on regret and grows his own food. This is one reason he's hard to get rid of. People-pleasing feels that she is so nice and that she prevents you from being selfish or mean. She thinks that real relationships are super dangerous and she convinces you to stay at arm's length. She thinks that keeping other people happy is the key to survival and she convinces you that you will die if others disagree with you or if you don't keep everyone happy. She's quite self-righteous and is good at convincing you that she's morally superior to courage, conviction, and confidence. She is a black and white thinker and will tell you that the only alternative to being nice is being mean. She's quick and easily avoids conflict, honesty, and pretty much uncomfortable communication all around. She'll sneak in at the last minute, steal your courage if you let her because she thinks what other people think about you is more important than what you think about yourself. People-pleasing can make decision-making hard because she convinces you that what other people think is more important than what's right. People-pleasing feeds on self-doubt and pleasantries. Perfectionism is the ringleader. He believes that the world is incredibly risky and that the only way to stay safe is to not make any mistakes and avoid attempting anything that might cause you to fail. He dresses up as a great leader and taskmaster. He does know how to get things done in the beginning, but he's terrible at finishing. He'll convince you that you are not good enough and that whatever you create is subpar. He is a master excuse maker and can get you out of almost any opportunity to fail, which means he's also in charge of not allowing you to succeed. He will shrink your world while you are busy trying to be perfect. He holds impossibly high standards and believes he is morally superior to productivity, humility, and vulnerability. Perfectionism breeds on guilt and feeds on false appearances. We all fight with these guys, but they convince us that they are personality traits rather than habits driven by fear. That is all they are, habits. Habits can be changed. Personality traits can't. So if you think you're a perfectionist or a procrastinator, stop. These cannot define you unless you give them the power to. People-pleasing is much sneakier and most people are unable to recognize her in themselves until she really starts to steal their power and their joy. We all like to think of ourselves as nice people. And since she convinces us that we cannot possibly be nice without her guidance, we cling to her and she becomes like the air we breathe. So how do we battle with the three musketeers? Much like we do battle with fear itself. Remember Pema Chodron's young warrior from When Things Fall Apart? Listen to this again. Once there was a young warrior. Her teacher told her that she had to do battle with fear. She didn't want to do that. It seemed too aggressive. It was scary. It seemed unfriendly. But the teacher said she had to do it and gave her the instructions for the battle. The day arrived. The student warrior stood on one side and fear stood on the other. The warrior was feeling very small and fear was looking big and wrathful. They both had their weapons. The young warrior roused herself and went toward fear, prostrated three times, and asked, "May I have permission to go into battle with you?" Fear said, "Thank you for showing me so much respect that you ask permission." When the young warrior said, "How can I defeat you?" Fear replied, "My weapons are that I talk fast and I get very close to your face. Then you get completely unnerved and do whatever I say. If you don't do what I tell you, I have no power. You can listen to me and you can have respect for me. You can even be convinced by me. But if you don't do what I say, I have no power." In that way, the student warrior learned how to defeat fear. The first step in winning the battle with any of the musketeers is awareness. You must first identify your opponent before you can defeat them. Here's a step-by-step strategy for defeating any one of them. First, decide on which of the musketeers you want to focus on. Number two, identify the behaviors that are being driven by that fear. Number three, determine what those behaviors are costing you. Costs can be things like time, peace of mind, success, money, energy, attaining a goal, relationships, confidence, freedom, happiness, health, anything. Number four, identify the payoffs. What are you getting from them? Payoffs are usually things like perceived safety, comfort, keeping things easy, avoiding conflict, avoiding failure, avoiding perceived disapproval, upholding appearances, avoiding a feeling of guilt. Number five, get clear about your desired outcome. What do you want and why is it important? Number six, play the young warrior. Your musketeer can get in your face and shout and yell all day now, but the gig is up. You know the deal. You can listen, but you do not need to do what your musketeer tells you to. You now know the truth. You understand where your musketeers are coming from, but you don't need to buy into their claims anymore. You can choose courage over comfort in order to live the life you are meant to live. Awareness is everything. If you understand the dynamic of how these fears operate in your brain, you are equipped to win the battles with them. Set up some structure for yourself to support you in achieving your goals. Here are a couple of examples of how to win the battles. I have a client who's a horse trainer. She has 20 or so clients, and her rates have been the same for many years. She says that she doesn't want to raise her rates because her clients are her friends, and she's concerned that they will be upset or leave if she raises her rates. People-pleasing is her musketeer. People-pleasing tells her that her clients might think she's not worth a price increase, that they may think she is materialistic and doesn't care about them, and that it's not fair to her clients for her to raise her prices. People-pleasing convinces her that she's not good enough to raise her rates, even though all the facts say otherwise. This avoidance of a rate increase is costing her financial stability, peace of mind, and even happiness. She finds she feels overworked, and even though it's her choice not to raise her rates, she feels undervalued and resentful some of the time. The payoff for all this people pleasing is that she doesn't have to risk raising her rates and having anyone be upset or leave. She gets to just go along without sending the uncomfortable email or having any courageous conversations with her clients. When I asked her if the cost was worth the payoff, she said, no, 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 no. People pleasing had her convinced that she needed to wait until she had her silver medal, the footing redone, and the paddocks fixed before she could raise her rates. These are, of course, all lies, even though she thought she believed them until she understood people pleasing. Now she was able to get really clear about what raising her rates would give her. Financial stability, feeling valued, confidence, more energy, and more time. Or a feeling of more time. Instead of focusing on how hard it would be to tell her clients about the rate increase, she focused on the payoffs. People pleasing was shouting at her the whole time, and when she wavered, I reminded her about the payoffs. Finally, she wrote a professional, kind, and thoughtful email to her clients and pushed send. She felt amazing, a years-long weight lifted. She felt a sense of pride and relief. She felt confident and in control. She realized her clients valued her for more than what she charged, and they respected her not only as a trainer but as a business person. They were still her friends. She won her battle with people-pleasing. I have a client who is now a writer. She was a writer trying to write while procrastination had her by the throat. But now she is a writer. She'd written a novel and had some editing and revisions to do. She found that she could not get it done. Procrastination told her every day that there were lots of little things that needed to be done first, that organizing her desk, washing dishes, making phone calls, and calling friends needed to be done first every day. She set aside hours to write, but those hours would get filled up with all those other things of which there was an endless supply. She always felt like she didn't have enough time, but she continued to squander it. She began to feel really discouraged. Procrastination told her she was lazy. She began to watch movies and eat instead of write. She would end every day feeling a deepening sense of regret that she could not seem to just get it done. Her family started to not believe she would ever finish it because she continually sacrificed family time to write and then didn't write. Procrastination was her musketeer. The cost was her relationships, her self-worth, her dream of being a published writer, and her peace of mind. The payoff was simply staying in her comfort zone. She was safe if she didn't achieve her goals. She would remain recognizable to herself if she didn't accomplish any big things in her life. Ugh. The payoff for winning the battle and finishing her novel would be a sense of accomplishment, confidence, being in control of her time, and authenticity in her relationships. Her self-worth and the possibility of making a living as a writer were at stake. So much. Once she understood procrastination, she was able to buck up and focus. Procrastination kept trying to distract her and wear her down with self-doubt, but she did not listen now that she knew what he was up to. The payoffs were huge. She told herself that all the little urgent-seeming things could wait, and she focused on the one big important thing. She told herself that she is a writer, and that done is better than perfect. She finished the novel, and she pushed send. She felt incredible. She'd finally kept her agreement with herself and her promise to her agent. She now felt free to pursue other goals, and she knew she was not lazy and that she did not owe procrastination a damn thing. Let's do this.